Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning will primarily be our psalm from Psalm 1. So if you want to have it open in front of you, that would probably be very helpful as you listen. But we're also going to be pulling things from the Old Testament and the Gospel reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30 and Luke chapter 14. In the very first line of our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, God proclaims to his people, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." There's really only two ways that a person can possibly be: following the way of life and good, following the way of death and evil. And the way of life and good is following God, hearing his voice, listening to his word, and walking in his ways. And the way of death and evil is to follow wicked ways, to follow ways that are contrary to God, contrary to his own will. And when we're honest with ourselves, it really just means to put our own will, our own ways, over the ways of God. God is our very source of life. We know this from the beginning of the account of Genesis, where God creates all of this world through the word of his own mouth. When he forms Adam from the dust of the ground, and Adam is nothing until God breathes life into him. God continually today is our source of life. He creates all things, he preserves all things, and apart from him, we are nothing. So you can see why God says to follow him and to follow his ways is life for us. But then on the other hand, if we turn our back on him, if we follow our own ways rather than his ways, that is to cut ourselves off from him, and that means death for us. To cut ourselves off from our source of life means death for us. Psalm 1 reflects the same thing. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And then the end, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The way of the righteous, the way of God, leads to life. The way of the wicked, our own way that we want to go by our own sinful nature, leads to death. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 14 when he says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." That's really what all of our readings for today were saying. That if you follow Christ, this is the way of righteousness. And that's the message that our texts have for us today. Follow Christ on the way of righteousness and life. Follow Christ on the way of righteousness and you will live. And as I was saying before, God is our entire source of life. He's the one who gives us our very being, and he's the one who preserves us day after day after day. And then God is the only one who gives us eternal life. Because when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and we were all plunged into sin with them, we all received the condemnation of death. From the sin that we share with them and the sin that we commit ourselves, we are under the sentence of death. It's what we all deserve. But God has given us the promise of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has come to us to live a perfect life on our behalf, to die in our place, to shed his blood, to forgive our sins, and to win for us life and salvation. God is our source of life in every way. He creates us, he preserves you, and he gives you the only way of salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only way that you may find life in his name alone. God gives us everything. The way of the wicked is to walk contrary to God's ways, turning our back on God, who is our source of life, and wanting to go our own way and our own will rather than God's ways. And the way that God sets it up to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I've set before you life and death, good and evil. The way that Psalm 1 talks about it, do not walk in the ways of the wicked, but walk in the ways of the righteous. The way that Jesus talks about it, pick up your cross and follow me. It becomes loud and clear to us, there's no in-between here. There's no keeping one foot on one path and one foot on the other path, or thinking that we can have it both ways, but it's really all or nothing. Either you believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, or you don't. Either you believe that the Word of God is our only source of teaching and how to live in this life, or you don't. There's no in-between, and there's no going back and forth. Follow God's way or follow our own will. Those are really the only options when we hear the Scriptures and when we're being honest with ourselves. And the reason why this is so important is because a lot of times people think that they can pick and choose what they want to take from Christianity and what they want to leave behind. Maybe I like all that stuff that Jesus says about being kind to your neighbor. Maybe I like all that stuff about forgiveness, but I don't really like any of that talk about sin or hell or condemnation or anything, so I'm just going to leave all that behind and I'm going to keep the Jesus that I like to picture in my mind. And there are also a lot of other people that do the opposite. They like all the stuff in Christianity that tells you what to do. That's how we keep an ordered society. That's how we keep an ordered family. So we'll look through the Bible and take all that stuff that tells you what to do, all that good morality stuff, but I don't really like Jesus very much. I don't really like the idea that I need the forgiveness of sins. That doesn't sound right. I'm a good person. I don't really like all that stuff where it's talking about Jesus' miracles. So you see how people try to pick and choose the parts of Christianity that they want and leave behind the parts that they don't like. But what God is very clear in saying here is that that is not an option. We cannot pick and choose parts of Christianity like you're at the buffet and picking what you want and don't want. It's all or nothing. It's following the ways of Jesus, or it's following the ways of the self, following the ways of the wicked. There's no in between. And the reason is because as soon as I start thinking that I can pick and choose which words of God I want to listen to and which ones I don't want to listen to, I'm putting myself over God. Because I'm saying that what I think matters more than what God says. And at that point, I am already following my own will over God's will. And when I do that, I am already walking on the path of the wicked. Because that's the one thing that defines the path of the wicked, to follow our own way instead of following God's way. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about at the beginning of our gospel reading in these words that sound pretty shocking to us. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What in the world is Jesus talking about here? This is not giving you permission to go home and start being a jerk to your wife and kids. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. But he's making the clear point that if there's anything that's keeping us from the way of God, we must love God and his way more than we love even the things of this world that are very precious to us. So a very clear, concrete example, if you had a husband or wife or child who did not believe in God, was not themselves wanting to follow God's way, and was wanting also to take you away from following the way of God, you would have to, in that moment, say, I must obey God rather than men. I must follow the ways of God rather than the ways of men. And dear friends in Christ Jesus, that is hard. That's hard to do. That's why Jesus' words here are so shocking. But it's shocking because it's true. Like Jesus says in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And a god is anything that we would fear, love, or trust in rather than the one true God. So if my fear about how I would come across to this person or my fear about being judged by somebody in my family is more important to me than following the ways of God, then I have made them a god rather than following the one true God. And Jesus says that it cannot be this way. We must pick up our cross and follow him. And he's not saying that you just need to ignore these people and say that I'm following God now, so I'm not even going to talk to you anymore. You can still speak to your friends and family members who do not believe the precious word of God. You can still wholeheartedly let them know that God loves them, that God wants to give them the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. But we can also be clear that we cannot pretend like the Bible doesn't say what it says. We have to be clear that we must follow God in his word. We must call sin, sin, and we also must call salvation in Christ, salvation in Christ. That's the only way. That is what Jesus is calling us to here. And the reason why Jesus is so emphatic about this is because he wants to give you that life that he has come to bring you. He so desperately wants you to receive salvation in him and doesn't want you to be pulled away by anything else in this world. The description that Psalm 1 gives us puts it this way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Jesus gives you his word, the word of forgiveness, the word of life, the word of salvation, and that is what you live by. Like Jesus said himself in Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And when you are continually fed with the word of God by hearing it in church and hearing it in your home, you are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who creates faith in your heart through the word. The Holy Spirit who strengthens faith in your heart through the word. He is strengthening your faith each and every day. And the same is said when you receive the Lord's Supper. The same is said when you remember your baptism in which you were joined to Christ. He is working through his Spirit to strengthen you. And it's a beautiful description that the psalm gives us. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And then in contrast, we hear about the wicked, the one who does not hear God's word, is not fed by God's word, and cuts himself off from his source of life. He's like chaff that the wind just drives away, dried up, shriveled up, dead. And what's the key difference here? The key difference is what the tree receives. Because notice that the tree is planted by streams of water, and that's why it's so healthy. Because we all know that a tree can't survive all on its own, but it needs water, either from God himself through the rain or somebody giving it enough water to survive. We, too, need something outside of ourselves in order to be healthy, in order to be saved. We can't just rely on what's within us or else we would shrivel up and die. We need to be fed by God, and we need to be fed by his word each and every day. And the wicked who rely on their own wisdom, their own way, their own righteousness, only receive death because they cut themselves off from the source of life, God. And that's why the end of the psalm says, "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." When we think about judgment, the end of times when we all stand before the throne of Christ, we have to understand that if it was just up to us, if it was just up to what we have done, we would all be deserving of condemnation because we are all sinners. None of us could stand in the judgment if it was just up to us. So what's the difference here? Jesus is really the only one who could stand in the judgment all by himself. He is the one who is perfect. He is the one who is holy. He is the one who is righteous. And he lives a perfect life on your behalf. He dies in your place to take away your sin. And his blood cleanses you from every sin. And he takes his righteousness and puts it on you. So that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you wear his righteousness. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin any longer because it's been washed away, but rather he just sees righteousness, the righteousness that was won for you by Christ. That's how you stand in the judgment, by Christ alone. And then contrast that with the wicked. He doesn't want the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't want the forgiveness of Christ. He doesn't want the life that Christ has to give. His whole life, he's just been living according to his own ways and according to his self only. So when he stands in front of God, just with his sin and his ways and his will, standing just bare open in front of God, God looks upon that sin and judges. He judges the wicked man according to his sin because the wicked man wants it that way. He just wants to follow his own way and shuns the way of God. So he also does not want to receive the forgiveness and life that God has for him. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God sets before you today and every way the way of life and the way of death. And he fervently wants you to follow the way of life because he wants to give you life. And he has done everything that is necessary in order to give you life and salvation. Follow Jesus. Listen to his word. And in him, you will live. It's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for myself that we would be like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in their season and their leaf does not wither. And the only way that can happen is when we're connected to the Word, when we're connected to that promise of salvation, that stream of living water that gives us new life. And on that Word of God, we meditate day and night. Because like Jesus says in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Hear his voice, follow him, be like the tree planted like streams of water, and its leaf does not wither forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.